Right now it is time for Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch. Jim, of course, joins us on Tuesday mornings. Jim has well over 40 years of experience on Wall Street, the economy, and politics, bringing over the experience, the airwaves here on Robinhood Radio. And ladies and gentlemen, hopefully, this is Jim Lynch I am presenting to you. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning to you, Marshall. How are you doing?
Well, with the Yankees at 33. Was 37-13. I'm actually pretty good.
I mean, they managed to lose 13 games in there?
How are you, Jill?
Participating. How are you?
Very good.
Well, yeah, because the Mets now, even though they had that horrible stretch, even they're playing well again. And so we haven't had two sports teams in New York perform good in a long time.
Or even well.
I say,
well,
good.
We're entitled to something after all we've been going through.
You're exactly right.
On the national and international scene, we need some respite.
That respite to get away from it all. You're right. You can only watch so many movies.
That's right.
Also, you can only be outraged for so long.
Oh, no. The outrage can stay.
It's bad for your blood pressure. It gets a little tedious.
I don't know.
Anyhow, let's get to a few things. Tariffs. Trump has kind of caved on the tariffs with China. Why exactly? People have put out, well, help him with Korea, which is that deal seems to be falling apart a bit. That said, however, the Chinese themselves just lowered tariffs on automobiles. It will be particularly helpful to the better or the higher quality U.S. autos, but it also benefits Europe quite a bit. That said, this tariff situation is, while our government says it's on hold with the Chinese, we have a lot of problems. The Russians and Japanese are saying, you know, this is going to cost us each about $500 million, and we're not going to stand it. We're going to retaliate. The European Union folks are somewhat in the same camp, and yet we find our government going around basically looking to start fights in the public arena over tariffs. So I don't think it bodes too well for, one, the economy, because disruption and lack of certainty in what's happening is not good for the economy. It's certainly not good for the stock market or bond market. Bond market, by the way, is at new high yields.
Right, interest rates are definitely
going up. Versus about six, 7 years ago. Bobby?
Interest rates for those of us who have variable rate instruments are definitely going up.
Yeah, they're definitely going up, which will probably impact the economy, the markets, and something that people are becoming more aware of, in other words, there's more press on it. Our deficit is going to be up another $2 trillion in the next few years, to about $23-24 trillion. Deficits, debt, have a way of inhibiting economic growth. So I'd watch those interest rates very carefully in terms of your investments overall. If you were seeking a house or a home or a condo or whatever, I would definitely, if you know what you want, I'd execute now rather than waiting and get the rates that are currently available. Bonds, I think, aren't going to go higher in yield because the Treasury is going to have to issue trillions of dollars of debt in the next couple of years to help solve our cash needs. And the U.S. consumer is now at the high end of its debt. So, as I said earlier, debt has a way of inhibiting economic growth. So I think the economy going forward is a bit more murky than one would think. Complicating this whole tariff market world situation is what is going on with the administration basically trying to curtail the administration's is trying to curtail the president being investigated. I don't think that that's going to succeed, but it does create its own uncertainty, not only in legal circles, but it should create uncertainty among us as citizens that for the first time in my memory or in history, possibly, probably in my memory rather than history, the president has basically decided that he is going to tell his Justice Department what to do in terms of his own personal well-being. It's become very clear that the president and his family have they've been treasonous in their behavior, in that they have been selling the country out to get elected, namely taking Russian help to influence our elections. And in the Constitution, it says, or the definition is for treason, is aid in abetting your enemy. And it just doesn't have to be in war, like in guns and arrows, but at the election booth as well. So that's my, as a citizen, I also think you're going to find that Trump and his family and those who are with him basically have been capitalizing on their being in government to make money. Jared Kushner is certainly an outstanding example of that. But lately, President Trump himself, in doing this dance with the Chinese on tariffs, somehow he's gotten the Chinese to give the Trump Organization $500 million to invest in a hotel of his in Indonesia. This is clearly against the Emoluments Clause. It violates it. In any event, we're a mess as a country because the president and his staff is a mess. And
I guess, Jim, what you're talking about, I'm not surprised. This is going to sound rather weird, but let me explain it in full. I'm not surprised at a politician taking advantage of his position. It happens all the time in the Senate and in the Congress. But here's the difference. In the Senate and the Congress, somebody can go in there as an average citizen. It's happened numerous times. And by the time they get out of Congress, all of a sudden they're worth millions of dollars. It's done slowly. It's done through contacts. That's just unfortunately the way business is done now with our government. And it's both parties, and it's independents. It's everybody. The weight of being in office over a long period of time enriches you, and you take advantage of it. You don't break laws, but you take advantage of it. I haven't liked that, but it's been part of the game. What hasn't been part of the game is what's happened recently. And that's like all these people around the president, first of all, stepping in to make fortune, to make money. That's the first thing. And then, yes, my eyes have been raised the past couple of times where now all of a sudden that building that Jared Kushner owns is going to be bailed out by loans from a foreign government. Whether it's illegal or not, it looks bad. The president signing that thing with China and all of a sudden getting a $500 million deal to his corporation. Whether it's illegal or not, I don't know. But it looks bad. And the whole thing, the whole face that they're changing, that President Trump is changing on government, is truly amazing with what his base and with what the American public are now seeing as just normal everyday occurrences, and they're not. That's the thing that gets to me. All this is not normal, and it's being treated as normal.
Well, it's probably part of the problem with it being treated as normal is because we citizens have been inundated with so many different things. Everything seems to be up in the air. Everything seems to be contested. And you underscore that with the divisiveness already in the country. People get stymied. People that are tired of the thing, and they give up, and they don't think clearly, and we have the mess that we have. Something's got to break here, though, because I hope it's not the Republic of the United States of America. You mentioned Jared Kushner. Well, let's get back to a company called Z like in Zebra, T like in Tom, E like in Edward. This is a Chinese communications company. We actually use a lot of their parts in our phones. And Wilbur Ross, the head of commerce, basically put them out of business by saying, you know, we're not going to do business with you for 7 years because these components can be used for spying. Well, the President of the United States has decided to insert himself and possibly bail out ZTE to curry favor with China. Well, that's terrific. However, one arm of the government is saying these, and this is not just Wilbur Ross, it's everybody knows that these components can be used for spying, can be used in cell phones on the battlefield of our people. And suddenly we're trading something that could hurt us for these supposed tariffs, which in the long run, all this stuff is going to eventually even out, these tariffs.
But Jim,
and countries will do this, that, and the other thing to offset them. So, but here again, coming back to using the office, and by the way, I hear what you're saying about Congress, and they come out millionaires. But the difference is, most of the time, Congress is not selling out to a foreign entity in terms of getting money. Trump's people have done that. This $1 million from Qatar, where did that come from? And let's talk Qatar. Qatar is a place where we have our largest military installation in the Middle East. That's where we basically send our folks in to fight ISIS and other enemies. Jared Kushner and his father were upset that Qatar wouldn't give them some money. So when Trump went for his first big meeting overseas with a foreign government, Saudi Arabia, all of a sudden, the Trump people said, oh, Qatar is bad, and I think you Middle Eastern countries should give them a ration of garbage because they're terrible. And now, mind you, we have the key military installation there. Jared goes to Saudi Arabia with Trump. They say, okay, Saudi, everybody else, you're against Qatar. Why? Because Qatar at that time did not give the money that the old man, Jared's old man, wanted. Now, that's selling out the country. Qatar has the largest military installation. It's a defensive situation for the United States to have that kind of thing over there. Yet the president is selling it to get money for buildings. By the way, Trump's first major state visit was to Saudi Arabia. Donald Trump is the guy who's America first and all of that political rhetoric he gives us. I guess he didn't remember that 15 of the 19 people who attacked the Trade Center in 2001 were from Saudi Arabia. And the mastermind of a lot of this stuff was from Saudi Arabia. So, we can dilly-dally all day long. Trump is ignorant. Trump is this. Trump is that. But his actions are hurting us. And his actions are hurting us with our allies, be it Japan or France or whoever. So it's bottom line, as citizens, what can we do? Not too much other than vote, pay attention, educate your children, and be prepared. And be prepared that this thing could get worse. Politically, it could get worse, and it might even go beyond getting politically worse.
Right. So a couple of weeks ago, for example, you were talking about China and how, and the negative effects of the tariffs. Right?
Right.
Okay, so what compared to a couple of weeks ago, because it's obviously still not okay, but what has changed? What has changed from a couple of weeks ago to now?
Trump got a big investment in one of his properties in China, that's going to get the tariffs reversed.
In the last 2 weeks, that happened?
That happened about in the past month. In the past month, yes.
The investment came in the past month.
The investment came after the tariffs. It was all after Jill. He visited China. He visited China for a reason. You got to tie the two together. Trump. He visited China, a state visit, and a lot went on there that we don't know about, which you're always proudly saying there's a lot of things that go on
right,
that we don't know about.
But we were talking about 2 weeks ago, and he's been back since then. But all I'm trying to find out is the position. I'm not making a value judgment. I'm trying to find out what is the difference between what happened with the tariffs 2 weeks ago and what has changed now.
Just explained it.
Let me take this one a little bit. Firstly, the Korean deal is on the rocks. China has great influence with North Korea. So Trump is panicking in that the deal, the North Korean deal that he said would be so easy to do, it's floundering. So he's playing up to the Chinese to help them to put in a good word to North Korea to get back on board in terms of meeting on June 12th and maybe, getting a deal. Which
okay,
I'm
asking the wrong question. Is there any difference between the tariff situation 2 weeks ago and the tariff situation now?
No.
Okay.
No.
Then
no.
I'm asking the wrong question.
Yes, there is.
Yeah, you're asking the right
question.
It's all BS, okay?
There is a difference. The Chinese... The tariffs on steel and are on the table, are off the table now. That is a difference.
Okay, that's true. It's off the table, but the Treasury Secretary has said, quote, the tariffs are on hold. So they still are on the table, but they're immobile on the table. As I said earlier, China has cut its tariffs on automobiles. The tariffs were very high anyhow. So that's one thing. Steel, we still have tariffs that was against Russia and Japan. That still exists. Those people are beginning to balk at that. The Chinese situation, they're trying to play with it to help the administration with North Korea. But you see, here's the problem. You cannot be mixing and matching apples and oranges. North Korea unto itself is what we're supposed to deal with in terms of getting them to slow down on the nuclear and eventually going to a place where we don't have to worry about them bombing us. Now, when you create a lot of dust using tariffs and trading, we're basically trying to trade business for security. You can't do it. Security is security. In any event, what we three are discussing right now is what has been playing havoc with people's heads in this country. An administration that is all over the lot. They can't focus, they can't plan, they can't come to a conclusion. By the way, this tariff situation, Pompeo is out there saying, oh, biggest sanctions ever against Iran. Now, we're trying to maintain peace, order. Why get bellicose and throw that out, particularly since it's so stupid? Because the Russians and the Iranians are bedfellows. The Russians are going to help the Iranians out in the sanctions. We have sanctions right now against the Russians. You think that the Russians are going to honor sanctions against Iran? I doubt it very much.
Do you think that they
have been? So we're creating our own problems.
Well, here's the whole thing about going, and this is going it alone politics. With the sanctions that were announced, put on hold, but that's one thing.
There's
but also
tariffs,
with I'm talking about the tariffs and the first sanctions and the first tariffs. Now with the Iran deal, by pulling out, when we pull out, and two big companies in Europe have said that they're not going to work with Iran simply because it would violate the deal now with the United States. Europe is in the position, and Iran's in the position, where if they say, okay, the United States pulled out, we're pulling out, all of a sudden there's a lot of tariffs, and there's a lot of restrictions, and there's a lot of things.
And there's a lot of movement, as Marshall, you know, there's a lot of movement that doesn't. These interlocking pieces are still interlocking, irrespective of.
And if they
the
become
bits.
Uninterlocking, it will become, and it's going to become, a massive hell. That's the whole thing about this going it alone policy that Donald Trump has. America first. Sounds great on paper, but there's so many pieces that are interlocked. It's like taking a jigsaw puzzle, Jim, and then knocking the table.
Right. Yes.
You got to put it back together again.
But you also
takes years.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead, Jill.
No. I don't. One of my issues is no one is ever, because it's impossible, looking at all the pieces that are moving when you knock the table. You are looking at...
you can't.
I understand. But that doesn't mean that they're not all moving a certain way and in some cases different ways. I know totally that you can't. I'm just saying that the focus...
That's true. But in a word, Marshall has described the policies and the strategy and the execution of the current administration. They basically see the puzzle is on the table, and they say, well, I don't like that piece there, I don't like that piece here, and they basically tip it all over, and they say, okay, we're going to start all over again. I'm sorry, the world doesn't work like that.
Well, we only have about a minute left, but I recognize it very plainly because my early career up until I was 30 years old, I did that. I saw something, I changed it, I didn't think of the ramifications in broadcasting, and I saw things go wrong. I just saw things go wrong by taking it upon myself and trying to think I was fixing something, and I wasn't.
And one of the really frustrating things around it is that, you know, from a totally retail perspective watching it, if people don't get involved in the day-to-day, you know, you've got a stock market which is sadly higher than it's been, et cetera. So, you know, it's hard to get a sense of it.
We've only got 30 seconds left, so we'll get back
to that. The key to that example, Marshall, you obviously have learned. The president has not. So let's all say our prayers tonight and hope that somehow he comes around to some sanity to help us all out. Give my love to your kids, and God bless America.
All right, Jim. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets this morning here on Robin Hood Radio. And a reminder, all the opinions you hear on Cover Your Assets are exactly that, opinions that don't necessarily represent the views of Robin Hood Radio, Tri-State Public Communications, its volunteers or employees or underwriters.